Hello, Africa. This is Let's Talk, where we take a lighthearted look at everyday life, the day-to-day issues you care about. I'm your host, Sunday Shamari, in Washington. Tonight, flying.
And then when the plane goes like this, like the right, and then all of us
all the way down
with the animals, and sometimes you just get your way, like getting like in the lake of anyone.
Well, my last delay was due to snow, but okay. I was in Jamaica.
So that
was a good one.
When we talk about flying in a plane, that is, of course, moving or able to move through the air. Isn't that exciting? Or is that safer than other modes of transport? Is it intimidating, scary, or a lot of fun? Well, tonight we'll discuss this, of course, in our usual light-hearted manner. So please stay tuned. Now it's time to welcome to our show my colleagues in the house, Deidre Murray McIntosh. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And of course, for the very first time, Tadi Abeje from the House of Service. Please welcome to the show, Tadi.
Thanks, Sunday. I appreciate it.
All righty. And on the phone, we have our regular contributor from Silver Spring, Maryland. And that is Martens Ekombo. Martens, welcome back.
Yes, I'm glad to be in the house.
All right. Thank you so much. Tonight, we'll be discussing flying. Well, flying is said to be safer than driving. Is that true? And how is that possible? I spoke to my colleague and aviation reporter, Idili Gongo, and I wanted to know, how is that a possibility?
The difference is how those, you know, aircraft operate, mm-hmm. and how they behave when, you know, they are on the air.
Yep.
Most of the time is very comfortable flying with big jets compared to very small, airplanes. I'm talking about Cessna, yeah. 172 Cessna, 152 Piper Cherokee, and all other type of aircraft.
Yep.
And when we talk about, you know, jet aircraft, especially those ones which we use when we travel, you know, overseas.
Yeah, like when we're going to Africa.
Long haul, you know. Those are different. They are very comfortable. They are, you know, made to be comfortable,
right.
because of they take, you know, long trips.
Yeah.
We are talking about 14 sometimes. And recently, they started a new, you know, route, which is the longest, which takes 17 hours.
Wow. Also, one thing I want to ask you, you may tell me about this. Some people say flying is safer than driving.
Right.
How is that so?
Because of the way, you know, aircraft is, and the way, you know, pilots fly the aircraft, the training that they go through, and even the plane itself. Because before a pilot decides to say, okay, this airplane, you know, is, you know, airworthiness to be flown up there,
right.
you need to check the airplane very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many regulations, you know, based on which aviation regulatory authority. In terms of United States, we're talking about FAA.
Uh-huh.
So they regulate. So all the airplanes that you see they are flying, they need to undergo a thoroughly checkup before they, you know, go up there. That's the reason why, even the training itself. And, of course, you know, when you're up there, you are given a certain altitude and certain direction. You go there, it's safe.
Oh, yeah?
Right.
Some people don't believe that, Edie. They're scared of flying.
Course,
you know how people get scared of flying, you know?
I know, but if you look at the statistics, you know, the number of flights, you know, a day, or even a year, compared to the number of accidents, you know, in a year. And if you compare the number of accidents while you're driving,
and,
compared to the number of, you know,
I know.
Travel by a car, you can see, of course.
You can tell the difference, right?
Air is very safe.
So you're telling people, don't be scared, right?
Don't be scared. Fly. Flying is safe.
Thank you, Idli Gongo. This is Let's Talk, and we are discussing flying. Well, you've probably heard that flying is safer than driving, as I said before. But sometimes that is hard to believe, especially when you consider a plane that defies gravity to go all out 30,000 feet in the air. Now, do you enjoy that flying? Or are you terrified? And how was your first experience? So let me first and foremost invite the only lady in the room here, Deidre Marie McIntosh. Tell me, Deidre, your very first experience. How was it?
My very first experience, I was very young. I went to Jamaica with my parents.
And wow.
I think I was 10. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, from Philadelphia.
Wow.
And it was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You really enjoyed, huh?
Oh, I did.
Oh, my goodness. Seeing yourself taking off the ground?
And I haven't stopped flying since.
Oh, really?
No.
You can never stop flying.
Never.
Especially when you enjoy it. It's hard to stop.
No, I love flying. It doesn't bother me. This year alone, I've been on four trips. And I'm getting ready to travel in 2 weeks.
Again?
Again. All by plane.
Oh, nice to hear that, Deidre. Uh-huh. Okay, let me ask Tadi a budget. Tadi, tell me your experience. Do you think, how was it anyway in the first time you did, and here you are? How do you feel when you started flying?
Well, my first time flying on a plane was in 2000 when I went to Florida with my family, and it was a pretty good experience. I did not have any fears of flying, and I've enjoyed flying ever since. You know, I flew to Los Angeles and then Florida again. So the only two, and then I went to Ethiopia about 15 years ago. And I'm planning to go there next month.
Wow. And that is a long flight, I'm sure.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And you know how it is with longer flights. You sit down, you stand up, you move around,
you just stand still for 17 hours.
Yes. My first flight over internationally was, I did go to London before that, but for work, I went to Ethiopia and Nairobi.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That was another long flight.
And I took a night flight, and I took Air France.
Wow.
And I had, they serve wine.
Uh-huh.
That's all I'm going to say.
I can imagine.
Lovely service.
Lovely service, for
and
sure.
And everyone on Thanksgiving evening, and nobody was on the plane. So
oh, my goodness.
I had a lot of
stretching, right?
Yes.
And a lot of space.
And a lot of wine.
Oh, my goodness. That was a great flight, for sure. Maritense, come on.
Yes.
Tell me, my brother, Maritense.
I think Deidre and Teddy have enjoyed flight.
I can imagine. Oh, yeah.
I think each and everyone should not be different from them.
Yeah.
I think one of my most enjoyable moments in a flight was in 2001, when I was still a university student, and I was traveling from my home country, Cameroon, to Accra in Ghana. What happened was, we took our, the flight name in my country is Cameroon Airlines, so
uh-huh.
We call it Kame.
Right.
Without publicity, we were able to board the flight. The schedule was horrible.
Oh, my.
That is to say, they told us, your flight will be at 7 p.m.
Uh-huh.
Then from... They shifted it to 2 hours after, and then 2 hours, and then 2 hours. Oh, so we finally left like about 1 a.m.
Wow.
Then it started from Douala, that is the economic capital.
Yes.
We landed somewhere in Equatorial Guinea, and which was like 30 minutes flight. No, before we even landed to Equatorial Guinea, we landed in Yaoundé, which is the capital of the country.
Uh-huh.
And then we went and landed in Equatorial Guinea,
right.
And then they picked another set of passengers. From Equatorial Guinea, we went up to Bamako.
Whoa.
That is in Mali.
Whoa.
And then we stopped at Bamako. They picked another batch of passengers, and then we flew down to Cote d'Ivoire, Ivory Coast.
Ivory Coast, wow.
When we got to Ivory Coast, they dropped some passengers, and then a new batch of passengers got it. And then we drove now from Cote d'Ivoire.
Mm-hmm.
Then we landed in Benin. Can you imagine that? In Benin, that
my
is
goodness.
In Cotonou.
That is a lot of rounds, my friend.
Yes. We landed in Cotonou, where we had to transit from Cotonou and then took another plane to drop us in Accra.
Wow.
It was a very horrible experience.
Mm-hmm.
I gave myself a negative A to say that no, I will never board that airline anymore. And I think I stood to my decision. I never took that airline. But flying is a very pleasurable moment where you can easily identify that, hey, I am on the air, but you cannot identify exactly which part of the air you are.
Right. Mm-hmm. You have to follow the map. For these international flights, you have to have a little map in front of you to know exactly now we are in the ocean, now we're in this country, we're this continent, or whatever you are.
Yes.
All righty. Hold it right there. Flying is the topic tonight. So many interesting views and so many differences. For those of you just joining us, this is Let's Talk, a program of the Voice of America's Africa Service. This is Let's Talk, where we take a lighthearted look at everyday issues of importance to you. I'm your host, Sunday Shomari, in a Washington studio, with my colleagues, Deidre Mari McIntosh, Tandi Abeje, and Martins Ekombo. Right now, we are discussing flying. So, why do planes fly so high? And how is your experience flying military planes, if you have? I spoke to Nadia Taha, who has worked with refugees in Africa and flown with military jets. And I wanted to know her experience.
And sometimes we used to travel with the army plane.
Oh,
and you get us inside the army plane, there is no chairs, there is nothing on it. I remember we used to go to the airport and we sleep 3 days in the airport to just get in.
Like, really?
It's like a matatu.
That's for sure. 3 days then, waiting for aircraft.
Yeah,
this
yes.
Is not,
yeah, because people are like, you know, it's free. So if there is free, they tell you, yes, go and sleep in the airport. We bring you food every morning.
Don't worry about
and
it.
And I used to live very close to the airport.
Oh,
so
that was even easier.
Yeah, it was easier. No, I just sleep at home and wait, and then my clothes and everything ready.
Uh-huh.
And then when the plane is coming very close to our house and I hear the plane, I just take my bag and run, and then get inside the airport. Like 3 days, I just stay in Istanbul, and then I know the plane is called Azza.
Wow.
Like when it comes, it's green. And then after they bring the army equipment and stuff, and then they will give stuff space to the citizens, civilian who like they don't have money to pay for the plane.
Right.
And I used to know the army's leaders. You know, they agreed it. When they have the space, they put animals, they put like goat, they put lamb.
Because
and then if there is any small place, they can...
What an experience.
And that's the scary thing because there is nothing. There is no like belt
or
anything.
Or sit chairs or relaxing chairs.
And there is not... That's my experience. I started with... And then when the plane goes like this, like the right, and then all of us...
all the way down.
With the animals, and sometimes you just get your way, like getting like in the lake of anyone. I have my idea. That's Africa.
I'm telling you, you have a unique experience in flying in your own special way.
Yes, yes.
Oh, my
God. Yeah.
But guess what, though?
Mm-hmm.
Most people will be scared when they see such things happening in flights. Have you ever gone through that experience and, oh, my goodness, you see the plane going the other side and said, oh, I'm dying now?
Because we hear a lot of, like, aircraft crash. In that time, I'm a survivor, dear.
You are a survivor, big time.
And then I came to Nairobi.
Yes.
I fly the...
This is now a commercial regular
Kenyan
flight
Edwards.
Now.
Yes.
This is not like goats in the flight. It was a whole different experience.
When I used to travel, I traveled like... For me, it's like plane is like a car.
Okay.
So like, I love the plane food.
Oh,
it's
you're very
sweet. Sweet. Huh?
The food is nice. Huh?
Yeah, I just wait for the food, you know. They just bring you food very small and they close, you know, in a unique way.
Yes.
Yes, oh, yeah. And sometimes, you know, when they end up, they give you another bucket for the food and they take it back home. They tell them, this is from the plane.
Oh, yeah? Special food from the plane, okay? Thank you, Nadia Taha. Tonight on Let's Talk, we are discussing flying. And back to the studio. Now, according to PopularScience.com, there's always two pilots on commercial flights who constantly watch over each other and see whatever they're doing. And this is long before takeoff. They check the aircraft externally and also internally, the warning systems and the like. And nothing is done without the agreements between the two pilots. So, the safety of the aircraft and passengers is of utmost importance to the pilots. And they have particular procedures to follow, whether it's an emergency or not. Now, do you guys in studio remember the crash landing of New York's Hudson River in 2009?
I've heard of it.
You've heard of it. Okay. Yeah. With Captain Sully Sullenberg of U.S. Airways. Yeah. That was something.
I watched the movie.
Oh, you watched the movie? You watched the movie. Okay. You know that captain is called a hero.
Yes.
And he was. Because the way he did actually take that plane nice and easily is as if there was no any emergency. As soon as it took off, there was a problem. And he said, you know what? We're going on Hudson River. Just like that. And that thing landed safely on the water. And from the water, people came out through the wings. And they were rescued. So, in such situations, there's also turbulence. You remember, of course, if you've taken long flights, you also know when you what you feel like when that plane shakes. So,
yeah.
You know, flying a longer flight, you always go through those moments. Okay? Although you have wine or not, but you still go through that. So tell me, what is your experience with that, and especially when you come through that situation?
Well, my experience of planes shaking is basically my experience is like whether it takes off or it's beginning to land.
Okay.
So that's my the experience that I can remember a plane shaking.
And it won't bother you.
And also there were times where it would shake when it went through the clouds.
Right.
So
that's spot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my experience with planes shaking. It wasn't that serious.
Right. And it was nothing for you to worry about.
Nothing for me to worry about. Correct. Correct.
Okay. Well, are we talking about crashes or are we talking about turbulence?
Turbulence and crashes. Both.
First, we go from turbulence to crashes.
I remember something I can tell you very interesting. This was a turbulence that I've never seen in my life. This was a huge turbulence from Dar es Salaam to London through a huge Alliance Airlines 747 jumbo jet. I mean, the flight crew jumped. You know when it happened?
Mm-hmm.
From where he was standing all the way to the roof of the flight and sat down.
Mm.
It was bad. And only because, as you say, storms are the problem. This was a snowstorm in London, so you can imagine what happened that time.
Right.
It was so scary for everybody.
Right.
Because, as you know, when you're in flight, you just enjoy. You have fun, drink, watch movies and everything.
Right.
But that, when that happened, everybody was like, quiet,
right?
And the captain takes over, trying to calm everybody down. But in your heart, you're like, "OMG,
right?
This must be the day.
Today is the day. Meet our maker.
I know that, but hey, we survived that. And turbulence to me, well, you can be used to it, but not so much.
Right.
I can tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. With Martin Ekombo, you are flying all the time, or when it happened to you, how did you find out with your experience in flying?
My experience in flying has not been all that worrisome.
Yeah.
I think like four years ago in 2014, I was not at peace with myself and my conscience when I was flying from BWI to Philadelphia. Why? Because we got in there into the plane on time.
Mm-hmm.
By the time the plane was kicking off, there was a strange noise that was coming out from that plane.
Wow.
The only thing I had to say to myself was, God, let me just get here. Mm-hmm. Let me just get to this place. and let me just get there. Fortunately, when we got to Philadelphia, my flight was kicking off. I had to stay at the airport for 24 hours in order to get to Houston, Texas.
24 hours?
Yeah.
My goodness.
I had to wait for the next day. Wow. I stayed at the airport. No support, nothing. But, you know, most times what really causes a lot of panic and fear when we are in the flight are some of the threats which we are facing today. Uh-huh. For example, you don't know who is who getting into the flight. You remember the case where, I think a few years ago, when a Nigerian was caught in the flight who was trying to warn Nigerian. Some of these terrorists...
The Panties bomber.
Yeah, something like that. Some of these terrorist activities and, you know, a lot of these inhuman, conscienceless thoughts which some people have today, they make you like, no, let me just sit in my house and die on my bed. I'm taking a flight which I don't know where or who is going to be there with me.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, but, you know, sometimes too, most times we like... want to hand everything into the hands of God,
right,
to say, Father, take control and let me get my destination.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Sometimes you have to do that.
Definitely,
and are you not frustrated? I think you mentioned about these delays, waiting. I mean, I had gone through that situation before, flying from Houston back to D.C., and there was a layover in Tech, somewhere in North Carolina, and it was not nice, not pleasant at all.
Yeah.
Especially when it's cold and you have to wait. It is so, so disruptive. So I can imagine.
Sure.
I don't know about you, Deirdre and Tadi. Have you ever come closer through that? That you had to wait, sit here, time changing, all that?
Yes.
Nobody's immune to that. Tell me about it.
Well, my last delay was due to snow, but I was in Jamaica.
Oh.
So that was a good one.
So you didn't care how long you had to wait in Jamaica, right? You're having a good time.
The airport was closed, so it was fine.
It was fine because you were in Jamaica.
Right.
But if you were somewhere else in America at that time,
no,
it wouldn't be nice.
Minnesota, I'm not ready. I'm ready to go.
I know. I can imagine. Yes, Daddy.
So like 5 years ago,
yeah,
my flight got like canceled because the plane's engine was just fixed and wasn't ready to take off. So we spent another night at the hotel that they paid for. So and then we got another flight and then a free flight and then we went back home safely.
Yeah, at least that was a free flight attached to that. That's not so bad, right?
I mean, Terry, I think you were most fortunate than I was.
I know he was, for sure.
That you were able to get a free flight and you were taken care of at the hotel. I slept on the benches in Philadelphia the next day.
Oh.
I felt so bad about myself, disappointed.
Oh,
and
no.
I really wish I could make a complaint to somebody to hear me.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I think I was a little bit naive. I just took it my way and I had to stay like that.
That was painful, my friend.
Sure.
I had a time.
Uh-huh.
So I have family that works for an airline. I will not mention which one.
Okay. That's okay.
But there's benefits and then there are no benefits.
Hey, I know. So it depends. Yeah.
Right, it depends. Uh-huh. Yeah. So those buddy passes.
They don't have no benefits.
So like I think she had just started working. So everybody was using buddy passes. Mm-hmm. Buddy pass here. Let's go here.
Let's go there.
So we're going to Dominican Republic.
Okay.
But we had to stop over in Puerto Rico.
All right.
We spent all of the whole trip was on buddy passes.
Wow.
I think we spent 3 days in Dominican Republic because it took a 5-day trip. And I think it took almost a day and a half to get there. We spent the night in Puerto Rico in the airport.
Oh, yeah.
Then we couldn't go to Punta Cana. We had to go to Santo Domingo.
Uh-oh.
And then we had to take a bus to Punta Cana. And the man sitting next to me kept on saying, "Arr, arr." I can't even roll my tongue. I was like, what are you saying? I was like, oh, okay.
Say mamacita.
Mamacita.
I have a question for you, Deidre. Did you get any discounts?
Oh, no, I didn't get any discounts that day. That's before I knew the benefits of rolling the tongue.
Exactly. You got to know
mamacita.
That. You have to know. You're right. Because if you don't know.
And sometimes, yeah. Sometimes it's a little bit frustrating when your next neighbor in the plane can speak something which you don't understand.
Yeah.
It creates more anxiety, yeah. I think so.
It happened for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, especially on an international flight, you know, you meet a lot of different people. So, hey, you can never expect, but sometimes it happens, you're right.
Yeah. And another frustrating thing is not only when you are in the plane, when you maybe have to transit from one airline to another. And sometimes you get to a place. There was a time I was flying from Douala to London, and I had to transit in Paris. I had to leave from Charles de Gaulle to Roissy, and there was no way you could get into the car to take you there. You had to trek on foot under some harsh weather conditions.
Really?
Wow. I pitied some people who had huge luggages, hand luggages, which they could carry on them, even though mine was a little bit heavy because I was coming out from a conference. I was going to a conference, but as compared to others, I felt sad about it.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
I can imagine how frustrating that could be, my friend.
It is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, hold it right there. You're tuned to Let's Talk, a program of the Voice of America's Africa Service. It comes to you Mondays at 17 hours, 30 universal time, right here on the Africa Service of the Voice of America. We will be back. Discussing flying. Well, thanks, and that's it for our show tonight, where we lightheartedly explored flying. A very big thank you to my guest, and of course, in studio, I want to thank you, Deidre Mary McIntosh. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
All right, and of course, my colleague, Tadi Abeja. Thanks for your time.
You're welcome, Sunday. It's great to be here.
Sure, thank you. And from Silver Spring, Maryland, Maritenze Combo, thank you for your time, sir.
Be welcome,
Sunday.
Be well.
All righty, you too, my friend. And Jackson Mvunganyi is our producer. Please send in your comments and experiences. Our email address is letstalk@voanews.com. You can also call us here at 202-205-9942. After the announcement, leave us a message. That's 202-205-9942. And the U.S. country code is 1. Thanks for tuning in, and join us again next Monday at 17:30 UTC for another exciting edition of Let's Talk. Our topic next week will be personal hygiene. Don't forget to tune in Tuesdays for another discussion program, Health Chat. Host Lino Madu and her guest physician discuss a health issue of interest to you. That's Health Chat, Tuesdays at 17:30 UTC, right here on the Africa Service of the Voice of America. From Washington, this is Sunday Shomari. See you next Monday. Ciao.
This is VOA News. I'm Tommy McNeil.